Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Ammo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. You know the Knicks, man. What can I say, man? We're gonna talk about this hot Knicks streak. We're gonna get into that. We're gonna talk about baseball. What's going on with you know, both aces in New York, DeGrom with a phenomenal game on Friday night, and then Garrett Cole out-dueling Shane Bieber, the reigning AL, signing award winner. We'll talk about what's going on with the Nets, who just, took first place in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, you got the NFL draft going on. We'll talk about who we think, the Jets are going to sign with the 2 pick. And of course, wrestling. We're going to talk WWE with the recent firings. I don't think we touched on it last week. I think we ran out of time. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, what's going on in WWE, AEW, obviously NXT, and then this upcoming Impact pay-per-view event, which has Kenny Omega, battling Rich Swann to unify both titles from, their various companies. You know, we'll get into that today and so much more. So if you'd like to talk about any of these topics and more, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics. You know, the floor is yours. So come on down. But, you know, with that said, let's tip off with NBA basketball. And today's title of today's episode is Great. That's G-R-8 with the letter 8. Great is not enough for the Knicks. And basically, as you can see, after today's game, 8 was not enough for the Knicks. Today, you know, the Knicks, they defended their home court and defeated the Toronto Raptors. And they blew them out. Final score, 121-103. The Knicks was leading most of the way until the, you know, until the Raptors came, you know, took the lead, I think, in the third quarter. And then after it was in the fourth quarter, that's when the Knicks, you know, ballooned the lead, you know. So, you know, props to the Knicks. You know, they keep this this energy going. Julius Randle, I think he had, 31 points and probably 10 rebounds, I think, if I'm assuming right. And R.J. Barrett, he had a good game as well. Rose, I think he scored 19 points off the bench. And, I mean, what more can you say about the Knicks, man? They don't want to lose, man. You know, for the past 20 years, except for the, 2013 Knicks, this team didn't want to win. They couldn't win, you know. But now they can't lose, man. Nine-game winning streak, man. You got to love it, man. It's a whole new energy from, you know, from the Knicks, man, from the fan base, the New York City, you know, even though we're going through this, you know, pandemic, man, you know, you can see there's a buzz in the city, you know, some sort of normalcy back to the, you know, the good old days of the 90s, you know, and then you got the Knicks, man, playing D, you know, shooting six 16 three-pointers and you know, 10 in the you know, first half to, like, start that whole momentum, which made them get to that big lead. And what more can you say, Mac? What's on your mind, Mac?
Well, yeah, man, the Knicks have been playing great basketball. 9-game winning streak. They're playing great defense. They're shooting three-pointers all over the place. They're just exciting to watch right now, man. I haven't been this pumped up to be a Knicks fan in a while. But they've been playing great. I mean, Derrick Rose has been playing well since he's been traded here. Julius Randle has been having an MVP season, averaging 23 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. And, you know, this guy has improved this game a lot. He's shooting the ball well from three. I think he had how many three-pointers did he have today? He had several three-pointers today. But, you know, it's tough to guard him. You know, because he can post you up inside, and he can shoot from the outside and then take you to the basket. I mean, this guy, you know, he's improved his all-around game. And, you know, he's the reason why the Knicks are in the position that they are now, you know, in the fourth seed. Yeah, man, it's been an all-around effort, you know, by this team. And you gotta commend Coach Tibbs. You know, he's preached defense all season long, and he's got these guys, you know, playing his style of basketball. And, you know, they've been playing really well. You know, the schedule will get a bit tougher once they get to the West Coast. But, you know, this 9-game winning streak, you know, it's been fun to watch.
Absolutely, man. It's been a long time coming, man. The Knicks, you know, this is what we've been asking for the Knicks. You know, before anybody can have dreams of them, you know, ever winning a championship, they have to preach defense. They have to go back to the basics. And this, you know, there's a whole culture change. You know, getting Tom Thibodeau, you know, Randle, you know, making that commitment, looking in the mirror and, you know, seeing that he could do better. Like, this guy is a very talented guy, you know, coming out of the Lakers. You know, he was a guy who was, you know, highly touted, you know, played his first, 4 years in with the Lakers, and the work ethic that, you know, the late great Kobe Bryant instilled in him, you know, finally, you know, got unlocked, and he became the leader of the team, you know. And yeah, man, I don't have nothing but good things to say about you know, Randle. You know, his commitment to turning his season around and turning the franchise around. And yeah, man, props to him, man. I mean, if he doesn't win the most improved player award, then they might as well just cancel the award. Like, I mean, he should win it. Thibodeau should be the coach of the year, hands down. And he should be a serious threat for the MVP award, because that's how great this guy has been. This guy has been basically a walking triple double now. Like, you gotta
at least the most improved player of the year, man.
Yeah.
Playing around.
For sure. Like, I mean, and another thing, man, RJ Barrett, you heard it here first. RJ Barrett next year is going to be an all-star. I'm telling you this right now, because this guy, Edwards, a month ago was criticizing him, saying like, oh, if he takes the last shot, you know, I'm good with it. We don't want Randle, which obviously you wouldn't want Randle to have the ball in his hand, because Randle is the best player on the team. Obviously, you don't want the star player. But to dismiss RJ Barrett and saying like, oh, like saying like he's not clutch, the dude's like 21 years old, and you could even see it's in his DNA that he's a clutch player. He just needs to mature more, and you could see it coming to fruition, you know, during this streak and all season long, really. I mean, he's been scoring. I mean, nothing but props for RJ Barrett and the whole team. Everybody's pulling their weight, and they're pulling their weight. They're in the tug of war. They're all pulling in the same direction. And that's why we have this 9-game winning streak. We just got to keep it going. You know, let's go Knicks.
Definitely. Just got to keep it up, you know. They have a big game coming up here on Monday against the Suns, you know,
mm-hmm.
who's in second place in the West. So that's going to be a tough test.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then they're going to be battling their old nemesis, the Bulls. They're going to be hosting them Wednesday night. And to wrap off the week, Sunday, we're going to have a rematch of the 94 NBA Finals with the Knicks, you know, continuing their road trip in Houston. So, yeah, the Knicks are, you know, the Knicks, these are what, last 11 games, they're going to be tough. You know, you're going to have Suns tomorrow night in Phoenix at Chicago. At Rockets, at Memphis, at Denver. Let me see, Clippers, Lakers, and then they're gonna come back on May 13th when you know, New York should, you know, open up their restrictions just in time for, you know, playoff basketball in a few weeks. So. You know, you got to love it. You know, Knicks are going to be back at the Garden May 13. Then they're going to host the Hornets. And then they're going to wrap up the season hosting the Celtics, which, you know, who knows? These two teams might be battling it out, you know,
yeah.
in the playoffs. So who knows? That's another team, you know, obviously with the Bulls that we're going to face on Wednesday night. Obviously, the Knicks and the Celtics are synonymous as being, you know, two of the Knicks', you know, greatest rivals. And then, of course, you got the Lakers, which that goes without saying. We've played like what four NBA finals against those teams. So, against the Lakers. So, I mean, that's, you know, obviously the Knicks and Lakers rivalry. That's a, you know, a very iconic rivalry, but unfortunately. It's been at the back burner because the Knicks, you know, they haven't been a championship caliber team in like 30 years. So, but yeah, this is going to be an interesting, crazy, insane final season. Basically, I mean, this final stretch is going to be on the road, the West Coast trip, which, I mean, that's, that's where dreams go to die. But this Knicks team, man, this is not the same old Knicks team that we've been watching for the past, 20 years. With the exception of that Woodson team in 2013. This Knicks team is hungry. They're most importantly playing defense. They're sharing the ball, and they're a family. So, I'm just pumped to see where this Knicks team goes, and hopefully sky's the limit for them. But right now is the building blocks. We're building the foundation, and we keep going in the right direction. Who knows? Then they could attract stars for real. But right now we just got to focus on this run, keeping the streak going, and hopefully keeping an even bigger streak, an improbable streak in the postseason in May, and, oh, man, God willing, in June. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. This new team, they're very resilient. Even in the games that they lose, they're still fighting. They're not giving up. So I think, this West Coast trip coming up, I think they're going to do all right. I think they're going to be all right. They have two more games here at Madison Square Garden. One, a tough one against the Suns, and another one against
the Bulls.
The Bulls, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to start the road trip against the Rockets next Sunday.
Yeah.
The West Coast trip.
So, hopefully they can try to win these next two games at home before going on that trip,
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Amen to that. Yeah, hopefully this streak we can get to at least 11 before we go out west, where the odds are against them of them coming out of that West Coast trip with a winning record. But hey, this Knicks team, who would have thought this Knicks team would have been in fourth place right now? So yeah, let's go, man. Let's get that engines fired up, revved up. Let's go.
I'm a believer.
Did you hear that motorcycle in the background?
I'm sorry?
No, I said, did you hear that motorcycle in the background?
What motorcycle?
No, outside my house, there's someone driving a motorcycle. So I had to get the correlation. Had the, engines revved up. So.
Oh.
Let's go, Knicks. And then, on the other side, you got the Nets. The Nets, they're doing their thing as well. They defeated the Celtics by the final score of 109-104. This was yesterday, and the Nets, man, the Nets continue to do their thing. They just need their guys to stay healthy. That's really the real test. Because do you know how many games the Big Three have played together this whole season?
Not many. I think probably I saw the stat the other day. I think it was like five games together, maybe. Maybe
very
less.
Close. Seven.
Mm. Wow.
So, yeah, they're trying to make history. They're 40-20 right now, and they can go against the odds, because what team have all these star players out like this, and then they just gel in the postseason and win it all? They have a lot of talent, but the question is, do they have enough chemistry? Because they haven't played that many games together, so time will tell. If they can finally stay healthy, and if you could get, Harden healthy, Durant most importantly healthy, and then, Kyrie Irving, focused on the task at hand and leading them to the promised land. Because obviously Kyrie Irving, he's been there before. He's won a title, when LeBron came back. Obviously Durant won the two titles with the Warriors, and Harden, he's trying to get that first ring. So yeah, you know, it's gonna be a, you know, obviously the spotlight is on them, but you know, and
there'll be a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
a lot of pressure on the Nets.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, the Nets is the better team in town, but you know, Knicks are getting the back pages because you know, this probable run.
You've been sushi in addition, you know?
Nothing but net, I guess.
Yep, scooping and hooping.
So, yeah, tomorrow afternoon, they're going to host the Suns. They're going to go on the road against the Raptors in Toronto. They're going to be on the road again against Indiana, against the Pacers. Then they're going Friday night, they're going to host the Trailblazers. Go to Milwaukee on Sunday, May 2nd. Oh yeah, they're gonna have a back to back. Wait a minute. They're playing two games in Milwaukee. Back to back. What is that?
The Knicks?
No, the Nets. The Nets are playing the Bucks on the road on Sunday afternoon, May 2nd, and then on Tuesday night. May the fourth.
Probably a makeup game, maybe.
They're going to be playing the Nets. They're going to be on the road again against the Bucks again. Usually they have like a home and home series, but you're probably right. Maybe they're making up the game because
there's some COVID. Wasn't there some COVID issues with some players COVID earlier this year or something?
Yeah, that's weird. And then they're going to still be on the road against Dallas. You know. In Dallas against the Mavericks. They're going to play the Nuggets in Denver, May 8th. Then on the 11th, they're going to be on the road against the Bulls in Chicago. They're going to host the Spurs in May 12th, the Bulls again. They're going to host the Bulls this time, May 15th. And then end the season hosting the Cavaliers until they, you know, the real season starts for the Nets. So, yeah, it's a huge time for New York basketball.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Now, what did you say?
I said, oh, yeah.
So, I thought we said the same thing because when I said you got to love it and I heard you, I thought you said the same thing, but you said, oh, yeah. But, yeah. Man, let's keep it going. Oh yeah, another thing is Durant said that he hopes this, you know, that we do, you know, the Nets and the Knicks face each other, you know. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, careful what you wish for. You know, those guys, you know, they better stay healthy.
Mhm.
For them to get there.
Exactly. And that's gonna be embarrassing if the Knicks upset them.
Yeah, that would be, and I would love that.
I would love that
better
too.
Better than sex.
Well, hopefully the Knicks will get their wish in face, and Durant for that case will get their wish in, and who knows, a miracle might happen. Let's see.
Shall find out.
But shifting gears, man. Let's talk baseball. You know, Friday night, the Mets, Jacob DeGrom. I could just, you know, do a mic drop right now. I mean, this guy, he's been impressive, especially since 2018 when he's been on this Cy Young mode. I mean, ever since he came up, he's always been a very good pitcher. And, you know, he's won games in the postseason, you know, that 2015. But, yeah, once he cut his hair, he had that anti-Simpson effect. You know, instead of losing his power, his strength, he got even stronger. And that was more evident Friday night at Citi Field. This guy, man, Jacob DeGrom, this guy is like a video game character. Like this dude, man, he pitched complete game, two-hit shutout, struck out 15 batters, a career high. And mind you, these last starts, he's been tying his career high at least two or three times this whole season, man. Like, and then he finally overcame it with the last out in the seventh. He struck at one point. He struck out like six batters, but the 8 and 9 inning, he didn't get any strikeouts. You know, he was pitching to contact and finished the game with the 2-hit shutout on 109 pitches. And I mean, he's been dominant. And remember, I said it was a 2-hitter. Guess how many hits he had in the game?
How many hits he allowed, you mean?
No, how many hits he had in the game? Remember, this is the National League.
How many hits DeGrom had?
Yeah, he hit. That is correct. Including the RBI, he knocked in the first run for the Mets in that game to give them a 1-0 lead. So yeah, he allowed 2 hits and he had 2 hits for himself.
Wow.
So this guy, he was dominant, and then the fans were chanting MVP, MVP. I mean this guy, man. If there's a pitcher who's gonna win it again, MVP award again, that would be him, man. Because didn't Bob Gibson win the award, the MVP award?
Possibly
as a pitcher. I know it's been done before, but yeah, Jacob DeGrom, man, he's in a whole nother world. He's in another galaxy, man. Far, far away. This guy is just dominating, man. Like, couldn't be more proud of him, man. I mean, you know, now he's finally has a winning record. He won back-to-back games. It seemed like the first time in a long time that's happened. He has a 2-1 record, and the one time he lost, you know, the team, you know, they didn't score any runs for him as usual. So, I mean, he's been phenomenal. His ERA is like 0.31, and his ERA, his Met/career ERA is even higher than Seaver's Met career. Like, I think he's like, what, like a 2.53 ERA, Seaver's 2.55. So, I mean, this guy, he's in a whole another world, man. Like, if this guy can stay healthy and pitch in his 40s and he keeps up this trajectory that he's on, man, he's definitely he's not only a Hall of Famer, he's in the inner circle Hall of Famer. The Hall of Famers of Hall of Famers right there. So stay healthy, DeGrom. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been dominant, you know, like he has, you know, these past several years. And, you know, he might have a dominant year again. That's if the Mets win games for him, you know, which is a rarity. But, you know, yeah, he definitely should be in an MVP discussion, as he should every year. But, yeah, you know, DeGrom is DeGrom, you know. Definitely a future Hall of Famer, I'll say that.
Yeah, all he needs to do is stay healthy, and the Mets have got to score some runs for him, play some D, and he's a shoo-in. Because this guy, he's like on a Koufax tear. Like, he's, you know, obviously his win totals is low, but his ERA is ridiculous. I mean, he's literally he has the best ERA in the history of the game and in the daytime. You know, I mean, this guy, he I think he was like the first pitcher to like have 4 strikeouts, 14 plus strikeouts to start the season. And he has like 50 strikeouts to start the year. Like, I mean, this guy is unbelievable, man. Like, what more can you say about DeGrom? He's been DeGrom-ing it. He hasn't just been dominant. He's been DeGrom-ing it, man. He's the DeGrominator, man. He's just destroying the competition. But unfortunately, today's game, you know, Stroman, he's been great as well. I mean, he was coming into today's game, he was 3-0. His ERA was like, I think was fifth place in the National League. But, you know, today was a sloppy game by the Mets defense. Conforto, he made some bad plays. Yeah, man, this was an ugly loss. The Mets lost 7-1. What can you say? I mean, Stroman has been great this whole year, but yeah, this game was clearly his worst start of the year. Oh yeah, another thing, on the Grom game, Brandon Nimmo hit a 2-run home run to put the game on ice to make it a 6-0 victory, you know, when DeGrom threw the 2-hit shutout. So, but yeah, it was like a tale of two cities, man. You know, the Mets, man, they laid an egg just like they did in Chicago when they got swept. And yeah, the Mets need to swing the bats. I mean, Alonso, he hit a couple of home runs in Chicago, but other than that, their offense has been horrible this week. So they need to get their act together and, you know, turn the pitching around as well. You know, a lot of the pitchers haven't finished the fourth inning in Chicago especially. So, yeah, we'll see what's going to happen with the Mets. Fortunately for them, you know, they have the starting pitcher that keeps them in games. But
I mean, he doesn't pitch every day. That's the only issue.
Yeah, but I mean, for the most part, their starting pitching has been good for the most part. I mean, prior to the Chicago outing, you know, in Chicago sweep, you know, they've been, you know, Stroman's been pitching great. David Peterson, he's been pitching great, with the exception of his first start of the year. I'm trying to think.
There's a Chicago Cup game earlier this week where it looked like Mets were playing loopers and blunders. I don't know what day it was. Probably might have been Wednesday. But,
dude, I can't even remember, and I saw all three of those games. Like they're all like a blur. All of those games are the same to me. Like it was a horrible game. Horrible games whatsoever.
Yeah, there was a game where like one inning, like a bunch of errors were being made.
Yeah, they scored like 7 runs on us. It might have been Wednesday. You might be right.
That's the one dude trying to about to catch a pop up, and then the ball just like flew over his head. Like he thought it was gonna be a pop up, I guess, and he missed it.
Insane. Absolutely insane. Crazy.
And Lindor throwing the ball in the stands.
Oh, man, you should have saw today's game. Conforto, man. He was not looking comfortable, you know. Shoot, at the play or playing defense. Like, it was an ugly game. Ugly game, man. That's got to turn it around. They got to get back to the basics.
Yeah.
And speaking of a team that's going back to the basics, you know, after the Tampa Bay Rays series, the Yankees look like they're back on track. You know, seeing the Indians have got their mojo back. You know, they're firing on all cylinders now. Won a couple of games in Cleveland. They Oh yeah, and today's game. A duel of aces. You had Garrett Cole outdueling Shane Bieber today's game, with the final score of 2-1. So, man, this was definitely, the medicine that the Yankees needed. You know, this is the defining moment as a Yankee. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the Yankees, they're on a 3-game winning streak all of a sudden. So they're starting to climb themselves out of that hole that they put themselves in early on, you know, in this AL East. But, they've been playing well these last 3 games, although I think the offense still needs to be more consistent. You know, all year long, you know, these guys have stranded runners. They're not hitting runs on base. You know, they just don't look like the Yankee offense that we're used to seeing, you know. But, you know, the pitching has been all right. Cole, I mean, you mentioned DeGrom being dominant. I mean, Cole has been just as dominant for us this year. So far, through 5 starts, he has 50 strikeouts,
mm-hmm.
only 3 walks, a 1.71 ERA, just 3-1. So, You know, right now he'd be my pick for being Cy Young in the American League. And, you know, you could rely on him every start. As for the other starting pitchers, not so much. You know, the other starters have struggled. Kluber, he struggled a bit. Kalon, Tyon, whatever his name is, has struggled. Mm-hmm. Montgomery, he struggled a little bit. So, you know, right now, you know, Cole is pretty much the only starting pitcher we can rely on every 5 days. You know, these other guys, you know, they're inconsistent. The bullpen hasn't been that bad. Bullpen's, you know, they've been striking a lot of people. I think right now the Yankees lead the majors in overall strikeouts. You know, which is not a bad thing, but you know, we don't have anything to show for it because we're only 9-11 right now. So we need to do much better. But I think we're heading in the right direction right now. You know, now that, you know, we're on this winning streak. So hopefully tomorrow we can sweep the series and get back to the basics, you know. Hopefully we can catch up with the Red Sox. We're currently 4.5 games behind, I think. Is it four? Let me see. The 13th. Yeah, I think it's about 4.5 games or so. So good win. Good win for the Yankees, and hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah, man, that's what we were talking about last week. Like, don't count the Yankees out, man. They've been in tough spots, and then they pulled, you know, incredible comebacks. So, obviously,
yeah.
I've been seeing the Yankees do it for, like, over 20 years. So, you know, it ain't over till it's over. Right. I mean, obviously, the guy who said it is a Yankee legend, Yogi Berra, but he said it when he was managing the 73. You got to believe Mets, but.
Oh, yeah. You know,
but, yeah, the Yankees, man, the bullpen has been great, especially, you know, Loaisiga and Chapman. You know, Chapman has been going back to his lights-out version of himself. Last year, he looked a little shaky, you know.
Chapman?
But, repeat that?
You said Chapman?
Yep.
Chapman has actually been better this year.
That's exactly what I just said.
Oh, I thought you said he's been shaky.
I literally said Loaisiga and Chapman has been pitching very well this year.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
said,
yeah, yeah.
Last year, Chapman has been a little shaky.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, Chapman has added the splitter to his game, which is now he has another pitch that will deceive mm-hmm. pitchers, and now, you know, he won't have to rely on the, you know, that power curve that he has in the fastball so much. So, yeah, that splitter is going to help him a lot, I think.
Yeah, props to him to, you know, realize, you know, that, hey, he needed to add that third pitch to give himself another look. Because, you know, everybody knows that two-seam fastball is no joke.
Yeah,
but to add that extra pitch, now he got three devastating pitches, like, yeah, as a performer, as an athlete, you always got to reinvent yourself, you know. So, you know, props to him for recognizing that he needed to add that third pitch to improve his performance. In gears, but let's move to football. NFL draft coming this Thursday. And, you know, Jets and Giants are going to make some big moves. And for the Jets side, you know, the Jets are rumored to be going after Zach Wilson. And another thing is, Zach Wilson, he reportedly contacted several former Jets quarterbacks, you know, such as Josh McCown, Mark Sanchez, Chad Pennington, so he could get a feel of how New York is. I think it's a smart idea, you know, to at least to prepare himself, you know, what he's going to expect. What's your thoughts on the whole Zach Wilson storyline and him getting drafted?
I think it's good. I think it's good. And I think, you know, the Jets right now, they made a smart decision in trading Darnold, you know, away, because obviously Darnold, you know, was not the quarterback that they thought, you know, he was going to be. I mean, they thought this guy was going to be a franchise player. Just like
Mark Sanchez,
you know. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Zach Wilson ends up to be that franchise quarterback. He doesn't end up to be a bust. So I think he'd be a good fit for the Jets if the Jets, you know, do end up getting him. Giants, on the other hand, I think right now they focus more on improving their defense. Even though their defense right now, I think would be great if the season started, but they should definitely improve their defense and offensive line a bit. Jets, you know, obviously a quarterback, and, you know, they got a lot to improve on as far as offense and defense. They just have more work to do, you know, during this upcoming draft than the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. The Giants, they're, you know, they got the 11th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're rumored to be, you know, going after Rashawn Slater or even the Heisman Trophy winner, Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
As a possible guy. So, and then the news out of this week was basically Dave Gettleman, he has a reputation of not, you know, trading down, you know, to get more picks. But, you know, he was talking to the media and he was saying, like, you know, he's more than willing to, you know, trade down.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, you know, he's not going to get fleeced if he's going to make a trade. So who knows? Maybe this might be the first time ever Dave Gettleman might trade down and acquire more picks.
Might happen, yeah. Might happen. We'll see.
But yeah, this draft is going to be interesting, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait.
These teams.
I know a lot of Jets fans are excited. They want to see who their next quarterback is going to be.
Mhm. And the Jets, I think they have like in the near future they have like 13 picks. So
yeah,
gotta make the most of it. But yeah, shifting gears. And before we get into WWE, let's go into this pay-per-view event that's gonna go down tomorrow night on Sunday, and that is the AEW the TNA pay-per-view event Rebellion, and the highlight of that match is you're gonna have the unifying match, the title match. That we're going to get to very soon. But before that, here's the matches that are going on. There's a TNA, well, I should say Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championships. You have Fire and Flavor, which is Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz versus Jordan Grace and Rachel Erling. She's the daughter of Paul Erling from, you know, the manager from the Legion of Doom. I'm thinking, you know, Jordan Grace and, you know, Rachel Erling is going to win the tag titles since she made her debut this week. So, yeah, I think she'll get the victory here. What's your thoughts?
You know, I'm out of the loop right now on AEW, you know, and TNA. So I'm not sure who's wrestling. So I'm going to go with whichever superstar you think are going to win in this upcoming pay-per-view that's coming up.
Fair enough.
I don't know what's going on right now, to be honest with you.
You got Chris Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, Willie Mack, versus Violent by Design, Eric Young, Diener, Joe Doring, and Rhino. 8-man tag team match. I'm going to pick the good guys to win here. Sabin, Eddie Edwards, James Storm, and Willie Mack to win this one. The last man standing match, you have Sammy Callahan versus Trey Miguel. I'm picking Sammy Callahan to win that one. Then you have a match of two former WWE stars, former tag team champions. You know, the former Edgeheads. You have Matt Cardona, a.k.a. formerly known as Zack Ryder, facing his former friend, you know, Brian Myers, formerly known as Curt Hawkins, in a singles match. Who do you think is going to win that between these former Edgeheads?
Wait, who's fighting again? Repeat the opponents.
Basically, Zack Ryder versus Curt Hawkins, but now Matt Cardona, I think, is Zack Ryder's name, real name, and Brian Myers, I think, is Curt Hawkins' real name.
I don't even know. I'll go with Zack Ryder.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I think Zack Ryder, now known as Matt Cardona, is going to win this match. Battle of two former tag team champions. That should be an interesting match. Then you got the Impact X Division Championship. Ace Austin defending his title against Josh Alexander and TJP, another former WWE guy. I'm going to pick Ace Austin to defend that. Then onto the Impact Knockouts Championship, you have Deonna Purrazzo, who's formerly in NXT, and she had a match against Nia Jax, I think, last year, before she got cut in the annual cuts that WWE has been doing. We'll get more to this year's one in a few minutes. Deonna Purrazzo, she's the Impact Women's Knockouts Champion. She's defending against Emma, now known as Tennille Dashwood. I think that might be her real name as well. So, I think Deonna Purrazzo is going to retain that match against the title against Emma. Then you got the TNA Impact World Tag Team Championships. You have Finn Juice, which has David Finlay and Juice Robinson, versus the Good Brothers, which obviously, you know, that's Gallows and Anderson, for the titles. I think Good Brothers are going to retain the titles. You know, they're in the elite. They're allied with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks from AEW. They turned heel last week or so. So, yeah, it's not going to be a good look. Kenny Omega trying to unify the titles and you know, the Good Brothers and their alliance loses the titles so recently, you know, which is the exact opposite of what WWE did with the Hurt Business. You know, you had Bobby Lashley winning the title after the, you know, Benjamin and Alexander won it. And then once Bobby Lashley wins it, then they made them drop the titles, and then they got kicked out of the Hurt Business. But in this case, Good Brothers will retain the tag team championship. And then last, but definitely not least, you have the Impact and TNA World Champion, Rich Swann, defending the Impact World Championship versus the AEW Champion, Kenny Omega. Winner takes all match for the Impact World Championship and the AEW World Championship. Hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, I think Kenny Omega will defeat Rich Swann and unify the AEW and the Impact World Wrestling titles.
I'm going with Kenny Omega as well, even though I don't know what's going on.
So yeah, man. I think history is going to be made. Kenny Omega, he's gonna retain the AEW championship, and then you know, gain the Impact Wrestling championship. I think he also has IGP. Yeah, he has multiple titles right now. He's the current AAA Mega champion. That's what the Mexican Lucha Libre organization. And yeah, man, this, you know, I think Kenny Omega, after he turned heel, what was it, a few months ago, he's on a roll, so I think it's gonna continue. But yeah, that's basically that what Impact and AEW. Yeah, switching gears to WWE. And what was I gonna say? But yeah, they had some shocking releases. You know, last week, and most notably, you know, you had the Iconics getting released, and then of course Mickie James, and then the biggest surprise of them all, Samoa Joe, which to me made absolutely no sense to release Samoa Joe. I mean, this guy is a former champion, world champion everywhere he goes, even the aforementioned TNA, Impact. You know, Ring of Honor, you name it. This guy has been a former champion. And it made no sense to release him because he could have been a legitimate threat for Roman Reigns' Universal title and Bobby Lashley's WWE title. Heck, he could have legitimately joined forces with either of those guys. He could have joined forces with Bobby Lashley and MVP in the Hurt Business, since they've all worked together in a faction in Impact Wrestling when it was TNA almost a decade ago. And then you have Roman Reigns head of the table, which is a Samoan faction, which, hello, Samoa Joe would have been a perfect member of that group, the enforcer. Like, it made no sense to get rid of him. Like, he literally could have been the enforcer in both groups and then become kind of like Batista in Evolution. You know, he could have joined the faction, turned babyface, and challenged for the championship. I mean, that would have been such a beautiful story. But now WWE, I don't know what the heck they were thinking. They release him, and then basically, most likely, he's going to go to AEW or return to TNA. Yeah, I don't think he's going to return to TNA Impact. Maybe Ring of Honor again, possibly. But yeah, I think all the signs is pointing to AEW. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was stupid, very stupid to let this guy go. I mean, this guy, you know, he was a good commentator, and, you know, he was a good wrestler when he wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been months since he's been in the ring, but, you know, he did a great job as a ringside commentator. Thought they should have at least kept him for that, you know. But, yeah, it's very disappointing that they let him go. At this point, the way they let Mickie James go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to go into that too. Did you hear what they did to her?
Yeah, I sent you the link. Remember?
Oh, you did?
I sent
okay.
you the, yeah, the trash bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't remember if you were the one that I thought I saw online, but yeah.
Yeah, sent her stuff in the trash bag. I mean, that's pretty messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they fired that guy, Mark Carano, who's been a long-time guy in the organization. I think he was even making more money than even the McMahons and Triple H.
Yeah.
And even Kevin Dunn. I mean, those guys who've always been, you know, the highest paid people in the company.
Yep.
And this guy, what arrogance. Not only are you going to fire her, you're going to put her stuff in the garbage? Like, that is just so disrespectful.
In the trash bag, like,
mm-hmm.
Disrespectful.
It's so disgusting. It literally goes without saying. It's despicable. There's literally not
WWE
enough.
For you.
I know. That's why WWE is not as appealing of a place as it used to be.
Yep.
You know, like when you were a little kid, you'd be like, wow, look at all these cool wrestlers. You know, you want to go there. And you hear so many stories of how they mistreat people. It's messed up.
Yeah.
Future WWE Hall of Famer. You're going to treat her like... I don't think she's been in the Hall of Fame yet.
Who, Mickey James?
Yeah, I don't think so yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's a future WWE Hall of Famer. You're going to disrespect it like that. Like, it's messed up.
Yeah, messed up.
I'm trying to remember what happened on this week in WWE. I mean, Raw, there was no Bobby Lashley. I mean, did he even explain why he wasn't there?
That's a good question. I don't even remember why he wasn't there.
Yeah, he's coming back this Monday. But they never said what was the reasoning. Oh, yeah, what happened, I'm trying to remember now. What's his name? Drew McIntyre and somebody, Braun Strowman unmasked T-Bar and Mace.
Oh, yeah.
The same in that group again, Retribution.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was, if you're gonna unmask them, they should at least acknowledge who they were before. Because these guys were playing NXT. Especially,
right.
What's his name? Dominik Dijakovic. He was very popular in NXT. You could at least had a reaction like, oh my God, I can't believe T-Bar. I think it was T-Bar. T-Bar is Dijakovic from NXT. We haven't seen him in a long time. There was no reaction. Like, what's the? How are you gonna unmask somebody and have no reaction? Who is this person? Like, are you trying to say like you don't watch your own product? You don't watch NXT? Like, it was just a dumb idea. If you're gonna unmask somebody, you gotta make a big deal about it.
Yeah, it's gotta be a big reveal.
Yeah, and Dominik Dijakovic was really popular in NXT. He had feuds with Keith Lee just before he came up. Like, yeah, I mean, like, they unmask them. I mean, everybody knew who they were, obviously, but if you're going to make a big deal on unmasking somebody, at least acknowledge who they were.
Yeah.
It's just a dumb idea that they're acting like it's a different gimmick. Kind of like Dabba Kato, with Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews.
He's Colonel, what is he? Commander Aziz or something like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, you could have just you could have still maintained it's the same guy, except, you know, he's just like Apollo Crews. He's maintaining his heritage. You know, he's, you know, like they could have done that. You know?
He ended up attacking Kevin Owens last night on
Friday.
Oh,
right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, on Friday night now.
Right, Friday night. Right, correct. Yeah. Yeah, SmackDown was better than Raw, but I'm trying to remember what else happened. You know, you had Daniel Bryan. He was putting Cesaro over, rightfully so. He was saying like that guy outworked all of them, including himself. You know that he should get a title shot, which obviously that's very true.
Yeah,
I mean him and Big E should be, you know, competing for the championship, you know, but
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently Goldberg thinks so too. Cause there's a rumor that supposedly Goldberg is challenging Big E, that he's next.
Goldberg against
yeah.
Big E.
Yeah. So maybe Big E will win it. Win
wow.
the title, because I don't see Big E, him facing Big E as a intercontinental level wrestler.
Wow, it's not the match that I want to see, but okay.
What match do you want to see?
Lashley and Lesnar.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that goes without saying.
Well, that's what everyone wants to see it. Point, but who knows if that'll ever happen.
I know. Hopefully Lesnar won't dodge Lashley like Shawn Michaels dodged The Rock back in the day. You know?
If you give us Big E and Goldberg, that's like a poor man's Lashley versus Lesnar almost.
Yeah. Yeah, or Roman Reigns versus Goldberg, like they were trying to do before the pandemic happened.
Yeah. Well, that's better than the Big E versus Goldberg. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah, of course. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Or even Braun Strowman versus Goldberg, which that's exactly what we had last year.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, man, WWE, they got to step up their game. I mean, a few things that's, the only thing that big news that came out that's really noteworthy, and I'm not even talking about Daniel Bryan fighting against Roman Reigns, because we all know Roman Reigns is going to retain the title again, you know. But the biggest news that came out of WWE this week that I could think of is they're going to have the match. They're going to have Bayley versus Bianca Belair for the title.
Yeah, it looks like that. Yeah. After months of Bayley not really in any of the women's matches,
mm-hmm.
you know, now she's finally in the big picture now.
Exactly. That one actually has a build-up. And then you got on Raw a storyline, a heel turn that never made any sense. Alexa Bliss, she's putting the women on notice, and she had a whole life story of saying she always knew Lily all her life, which kind of ruins the canon story of her and Bray Wyatt, because looking back at Alexa Bliss from when she came up, there was no sign of any, like, evil, demonic things going on with her. The whole story was Bray Wyatt tricking her, you know, possessing her, you know, to be evil.
Yeah.
Now they're rewriting history and saying that she always knew Lily all these years, ever since she was a little girl, and all this crap. Like, WWE, get it together, man. Get it together, man. Then the whole Alexa Bliss storyline as this, you know, evil version only works when she's with Bray Wyatt. Her leaving Bray Wyatt and joining with a doll, a Chucky wannabe doll, it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. So what are you going to do now? You're going to have her puppet go against Bray Wyatt's puppet?
I guess so. I guess that's what's going to happen. It's so dumb. And then you get the doll like trying to eat the camera. Like, what the heck is going on with this? WWE is just trying to replicate what the stuff that Bray Wyatt came up with,
right.
You know, behind the scenes, and trying to catch lightning in a bottle after they ruined Bray Wyatt's storyline. It's like all the storylines that the fans like, that you have to ruin it. The Hurt Business was the hottest thing going on in WWE. Let's ruin it. Shelton Benjamin and what's his name out of the group? Cedric Alexander. After, you know, those guys were trying for years to get back, get some, you know, TV time. They got rid of them. They ended the thing. And, you know, essentially by next year, they're going to be in the cuts of next year, unfortunately. Because WWE always saying, you know, Vince McMahon is always like, you know, reach for the brass rings, you know, reach for the brass rings. When people actually get over by themselves, like Zack Ryder did, like in 2011 with the internet champion, then they just cut their legs right from under them, and then they have to try to start from the beginning. Or Cesaro with the Cesaro section, you know, it's like you can only be popular if you do it their way. They promote you.
Exactly.
You try to get popular from the fans, they're going to try to shortchange you. That's what they did with Daniel Bryan, too. The Yes Movement got so big that they had no choice but to insert him into the match against Randy Orton and Batista. And then what was another thing? Kofi Kingston, Kofi Mania. Another thing.
Calling for him to be, yeah.
Mustafa Ali was supposed to be in that match against Daniel Bryan. But Mustafa Ali got injured. Kofi Kingston, you know, got into that match, wowed everybody, And then the fans were like, no, you have to put the title on him now. 11 years, the guy's been doing the work, put it on him. Then WWE was forced to do the right thing yet again. And then now WWE want to take credit for doing Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks, which, yes, great match, great build-up, history-making stuff, you know, first time two black women competing at WrestleMania for the title, phenomenal accolade. Long overdue. And that's the problem. It's long overdue because WWE is the one that books the stuff, and they didn't see that, a black woman, much less two black women, were the main event in WrestleMania. Yes, they've had a few. They've had, Jazz and Jacqueline, but those are rarities. You can't take a pat on the back when you're the ones that are, being the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes, controlling what goes on, So it is what it is. I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else that happened. I just noticed something now. Apparently, WWE didn't like that Snoop Dogg appeared on AEW on January 6th. And, WWE apparently didn't like that. So, apparently they spoke to him about it. But one thing is, yes, Snoop Dogg has a great history with WWE. His cousin Sasha Banks is on the show. It had a lot of, he's made multiple songs for them. I mean, he made a new song for Cody Rhodes too. But Snoop Dogg is not an employee of WWE. Second of all, according to WWE, their wrestlers are not employees. They're independent contractors that somehow they don't have the right to take jobs elsewhere. Even though they're independent contractors.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So why are they mad at Snoop Dogg? They don't see AEW as competition. Like, they literally said that because Chris Jericho interviewed with Stone Cold Steve Austin at the interview. What was it called? The Broken Skull rant, the session? I haven't seen it yet, but I know that's going to be an epic discussion between the two of them.
Well, they've had a discussion before on Jericho's show, no?
Oh, yeah. They've talked to each other several times on their show, but I'm talking about the WWE Network exclusive show that they have after a pay-per-view event.
Now it's
on Peacock now because they moved it over. But, this is the first time, they're having an AEW person on their show. With the exception of Billy Gunn when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame with DX.
Right.
Yeah, that's it is what it is, man. Anything else you'd like to say before we?
You guys, check your local listings for my show iMac, and I'll come back here next week and check out Sports Urban Legend only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the guy. Check out his show iMac. Check your local listings. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And come back here every Saturday at 11 and check out this show, Sports Urban Legend, with your host William Ramel and Macaulay Matthew. So we'll see you guys next week. Peace. Ha ha ha.